This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Andrew Austin, Field Director for the Transportation Choices Coalition. Andrew Austin is here today to tell us about the Transportation for Washington campaign, which was just launched last month. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks, Diane. It's great to be here.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Transportation Choices Coalition?
Yeah, so Transportation Choices Coalition is an organization based here in Seattle, and we work statewide basically to bring more transportation choices to residents in Washington. So basically, we think if folks want to be able to catch a bus to work, hop on a train to go to the grocery store, or walk and bike in their communities, they should be able to make those choices to live a healthier, more connected life across Washington State. So we do that through education programs, policy programs, and advocacy is our three main focus areas.
What is the overall purpose of the Transportation for Washington campaign that you just launched last month?
Yeah, so Transportation for Washington campaign is a joint effort with us and a group called FutureWise, and then we're building a broad coalition of business, labor, and environmental groups. And basically, the purpose is we're trying to set the stage for how we fund and think about transportation in Washington State on a long-term basis. So do we want to continue to make the decisions that we've made the past five decades of building a car-centric communities, or do we want to shift our funding and shift our focus into building more sustainable transit, bike, pedestrian-focused communities where people can have those choices? So it's really looking at where we're going in Washington State.
Why did the campaign come together at this particular point in time?
So there's a few reasons the campaign came together. I think mostly just kind of looking at where we're at as a state in terms of these issues. So the biggest thing is, you know, our local governments and our transit agencies are facing huge fiscal crises across the state. So while people are demanding more transit service, want better, faster, more efficient transit service, almost all of our bus agencies, local buses, are looking at drastically cutting service. So we're kind of using this as an opportunity to, out of crisis, look long-term at how did we get into this crisis and where do we want to go? So with the need for new infrastructure spending in the next 2 to 5 years, we really wanted to get out there early talking about the things that are important to us from a sustainability perspective on transportation and kind of really look forward in the midst of this financial crisis for whether it's bike and pedestrian programs at local cities or it's transit service on the ground across the state.
What are the key elements of the Transportation for Washington vision?
So we have three key elements. The first is that any new road spending should be focused on fix it first and maintaining our existing infrastructure. So as people in Seattle or other cities across the Puget Sound know, we've got potholed roads, crumbling bridges, a lot of infrastructure that really needs to be repaired for car drivers, for buses, and for cyclists and pedestrians who use those facilities. So instead of continuing to put our emphasis on building new freeway expansion that leads to sprawl and more time in traffic and less time with your families, we're saying let's focus our road money on fixing what we have and maintaining what we have. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we just need more transit funding in this state. Washington State spends less than 5% of their transportation budget on transit, which kind of shocks people because, you know, people think Washington's a pretty green, pretty forward-thinking state. And in the East Coast, state governments put a lot of money into transit, but here that just hasn't been the case. So with transit service, it's really about two things. It's about giving local voters and local governments more options other than the sales tax to fund transit. And then it's also increasing grant programs, increasing direct funding from the state government to transit agencies to put service on the ground. And then lastly, our last principle of the campaign is just building healthy, more sustainable, connected communities. So this is things like increasing our bike pedestrian funding at the state, which is also very low, making sure that our inner city rail operations are funded to connect suburban, rural, and urban communities. We just passed a bill in the House yesterday that was the Complete Streets Grant Program bill, which is a bill that we proposed last year, and then it just got past the House floor yesterday. So right now, it does good things on a policy side with DOT, but our proposal is saying you need to fund things like that. fund complete streets incentive programs, fund transit-oriented communities incentive programs to really make sure that we're getting the most bang for our buck out of our infrastructure and doing the right things at the local level.
Is your main approach then going to be to influence legislation and government decision?
Yeah, that's our ultimate goal. So we are looking for support from individuals, local governments, businesses, other political organizations to get on board with this vision, with the end goal of when we look at future revenue and future policies for transportation in Washington, it's really looking at government and looking at the legislature ultimately.
Would you say a bit more about the other groups that are involved with you?
Yeah, so we're in the very early stages of our coalition building. We've done a good job of getting a lot of environmental groups on board pretty quickly, which has been great, like the Washington Environmental Council and the other kind of broader environmental groups. Then we're also reaching out to labor unions. We think that's a really important voice in this discussion. A lot of transit jobs equal good family wage labor jobs, whether that's on the construction side for folks trying to get to work as janitors at the UW or the actual bus drivers. So we're reaching out to all those unions, getting them engaged and on board. And then lastly, our business community is really important. You know, there's a lot of businesses out there, especially on kind of the local smaller businesses who really care about transit service and transit access. So we're talking to direct businesses. We're talking to groups like the Downtown Seattle Association and Downtown Tacoma on the Go, and kind of starting with the businesses in our compact, walkable, transit-connected urban areas.
Overall, what kind of response are you getting to your outreach efforts?
I think overall it's been really positive. I think people are excited to see a vision and excited to talk about a vision, because there's so much doom and gloom in government and in the finances of everyone and also in government right now, that to see more of a long-term vision and a long-term look gets people pretty excited. So the outreach, generally speaking, people have been really interested, very engaged, and it's really been a great way to start conversations with a lot of individuals that maybe as an organization we hadn't been talking to enough. So another example of that is affordable housing advocates, lower income advocacy organizations, which is really important for them to get folks to work into the grocery store, advocacy organizations for senior citizens, and then groups that represent people with disabilities. All those constituencies, you know, transportation's a second tier issue for them because they've got the big budget cuts they're worried about right now. But having a vision that we can go out to them with is really helpful for starting the conversation, soliciting their ideas, and then getting their endorsement and support down the road.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Andrew Austin, Field Director for the Transportation Choices Coalition. Our topic is the Transportation for Washington campaign. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Well, I understand your initial focus is on transit. Is that correct?
Yeah, but transit is very much in people's minds right now because of the crisis that we're in and where we want to go long term. So we're talking a lot about transit in the outset, but it's really not just about transit. It's about transit. It's about safe streets for pedestrians and senior citizens and cyclists to use. It's about the great intercity rail program that we have here at Washington State, which keeps getting more money from the federal government as other states send back their money. So that's great news. So it's about that complete, connected, sustainable transportation system that really gives people an option besides driving alone to where they need to go.
But let's focus, in any case, a bit on the transit. Would you like to say a few words about what you consider to be the primary benefits of public transportation?
Absolutely. I mean, public transit has so many benefits, it's hard to pick one or two, but I think just a few of the top benefits. One is economic development. Everyone's talking about getting our community, our city, and our state back to work. Transit Smart Growth America, which is a national partner of ours, just released a report that transit spending and the stimulus dollars that were spent last year created way more jobs than any other type of spending, because it really is work on the ground for construction and then saving jobs for the people who work in transit. And then most importantly, it's an important option to allow people to avoid the congested freeways or have an alternative to the congested freeways to get to work, and for lower income folks to go look for jobs. So getting our economy back on track is the number one reason why we're working on transit right now. I think the two other ones that we talk about a lot our environment. About 49% in Washington state of our CO2 emissions come from automobile travel. We're really lucky. We have pretty clean energy with our hydropower. So if we're going to meet Washington state's climate change goals, we absolutely have to reduce vehicle miles traveled per driver. And the only way to do that is to have a robust transit service connecting our rural communities and high frequency, high capacity service in our urban areas. For climate and sustainability, it's so important. And then last but not least, the public health community is getting more and more involved in public transit with more and more attention on the childhood obesity epidemic and just obesity in our country. The public health community is seeing more and more that having communities where you can walk and walk to transit and can get out of your neighborhood in a way other than a cul-de-sac in your car is so important to addressing that issue. So that's another one that's really crucial.
Well, you said a bit about this earlier, but would you characterize the current state of transit services for Washington state citizens, both here in the Puget Sound area, but also statewide?
Yeah. So it's the same story here in Washington as it is around the country. And that story is people want more service. Ridership over the last 5 years has been steadily increasing. But at the same time, transit agencies across the state are looking at massive, massive reductions in service. So there's this disconnect between what we need and where we want to go and what we have the money for. We're lucky enough that some communities like Jefferson County and Thurston County still had sales tax authority authorized to them. So they were able to go out and save transit service in those communities with locally funded taxes. But here in King County or in Snohomish County, they don't have that option. They are at their maximum. So in Snohomish County, they've already cut 15% of their bus service. They're talking about another huge cut to service this spring. And they can't ask their voters for anything. They can't do anything else but be forced to cut their service, which means that, you know, I have a friend who is blind and can't visit his family on Sundays now. You know, we've heard stories of senior citizens who can't get to church on Sundays because there's no transit service on Sundays. So there is this disconnect between the need and the desires and what the legislature is allowing local governments to do in terms of funding transit service.
To what extent is the shortfall a function of the economic downturn as opposed to a more systemic issue?
So, you know, the biggest reason we have the transit funding crisis here and across the country is because of the economic downturn. In Washington state, it's been worse than other places in the country, I would argue, or just as bad, because basically the only way that transit is funded locally is locally garnered sales tax. So that makes it worse because sales tax is a more volatile taxing source than some other taxing sources. So only having sales tax is more of a systemic issue, but the actual crisis here and now is really a result of the economic downturn. People are buying less, and as a result, transits don't have the funding to do what they need to do, with usually about 70% of transit agency funding coming from the local sales tax. So it's a huge portion of their budget.
Transit agencies do collect fares from customers. How much does that contribute to funding transit in general, the actual fare box receipts?
So pretty much every transit agency across the state, especially in the Puget Sound, has been raising fares aggressively to try to deal with this funding crisis. But, you know, the national standard is for a bus agency, if you're making over 20% of your budget from the fare box recovery, that's at a national standard. And that's actually pretty good. And our agencies here in the Puget Sound are up at that level or higher due to the increased fare box raises. And, you know, opponents of transit will say, well, transit is a just subsidized waste of taxpayers' dollars. But the reality is there is no transportation system in the world that isn't subsidized. Our airports are built with public dollars. And what's the fare box recovery of roads? Usually it's zero unless there's some tolls, which we're just now starting to do. So actually, I'd say 20% is better than 0% of fare box recovery. You know, and there's only so much you can do. You know, there's only so many times you can raise the fares before it becomes cost prohibitive for low-income folks.
Looking here in the Puget Sound area, to what extent do you think fares could be raised to help generate more money?
So I can't remember the exact amounts that King County Metro has raised their fares, but I do know that it's been a pretty aggressive, steady schedule of raising fares year after year after year the past 2 or 3 years. I think now that if you get on a local bus in King County during the peak, it's $2.50. So, I mean, I think that maybe there's still a little bit of room, but for the most part, we can't continue to rely on the backs of the transit riders to continue to raise fares for this service. We need to look at more sustainable systemic options.
What are some of the options for funding transit beyond what we're doing currently?
Yeah, so we've talked about what options we would like at the local level for funding transit. And really, we're not saying there's one option or one solution, but we really need a whole array of possibilities out there in the future. One that is a tax that is connected to the transportation system makes more sense in people's mind is the motor vehicle excise tax. It'd be kind of a car tab for paying for transit service in the Puget Sound. We used to have it, then we don't, and now we do. So that's one thing we're talking about. Another thing that's really important is as the state moves towards more tolling in our state, you know, they're starting 520 tolling this spring, which is going to be a big change. We really think that in the long term, we need to look at tolls as a revenue source for transit service in those corridors. So if you have transit service that's helping relieve congestion on a tolled corridor and giving folks an alternative to going on that facility in a single occupancy car, that might be an important source of revenue. In some larger cities with more of a robust tolling, historic tolling plan like San Francisco and New York, tolls actually contribute a lot of money to transit. So that's another option that we've been talking about. And there's other ones out there, and some of them are more short-term things that could happen in the next few years, and others are more just kind of long-term things we need to have out on the table in the years going forward. So we're kind of trying to figure that out now because, you know, no tax is a perfect tax, but we definitely need other options than the sales tax because it's pretty much reached close to its limit, I think.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Andrew Austin, Field Director for the Transportation Choices Coalition. Our topic is the Transportation for Washington campaign. A couple of the solutions you mention involve collecting money from cars. And in the short run, that sounds as though it would be a good source. But in the long run, if you want people to get out of their cars and the number of cars are going to be decreasing, how would you deal with that? Maybe in the long run, that isn't going to be a good source of income.
Yeah, that's a kind of conundrum that everyone is thinking about when they're looking at transportation revenue. I think that the biggest place that's a problem is with the gasoline tax, which as in our state, as you know, only can pay for roads. But it's this kind of catch-22 where we're trying to get people to use transit and walk and bike more to be more sustainable. But as they do that and as they buy more fuel-efficient vehicles, the amount of revenue plummets. So it's kind of this catch-22 for sure. But I think that what's important is that the taxes that pay for transit, the reason why we look at cars and transportation is because there's a clear nexus. If you're paying for your car a small tax to pay for transit service, it benefits you if you're a transit rider, but it also benefits you in terms of helping keep the roads moving for everyone. So again, there's no perfect solution, but we want to make sure that it makes more sense in people's minds to have that connection than just, you know, something that's kind of a separate area, I guess you could say.
Would you like now to tell us about efforts for transit funding taking place in the 2011 Washington State Legislature?
Yeah, so we have kind of two things going in the legislature this year. So one is we're talking about a bill that will basically just kind of put on paper all of these long-term ideas for local transit funding. And then more immediately, there is a emergency transit funding bill. So this bill is similar to legislation that we've worked on the past few years. Basically, all it is we're saying transit agencies aren't hungry. They're starving. We're facing draconian cuts if the legislature doesn't do something to help save bus service. So please give us a small, temporary, short-term vehicle license fee. At first, it was $30. So $20 to $30 is kind of the range folks are talking about to help us kind of put a Band-Aid on a big wound and help the transit agencies just stay afloat in the next couple of years as these more long-term transportation funding conversations continue to unfold. So that's something we're working on with a lot of vigor. And the good thing is that a lot of the Puget Sound legislators have really come together, and we've really got leaders in both the House and the Senate on these issues now. So that's great. So Marco Leas from Snohomish County and Joe Fitzgibbon from West Seattle are both incredible, young, energetic politicians who really, really understand the importance of transit and cycling. And then over in the Senate, we now have Scott White, Senator White from North Seattle, and Senator Sharon Nelson, who's also from West Seattle, who really care about these issues. So it's been nice to see some folks really kind of hone in to make sure that transit and cycling and walking and all those things are prioritized going forward at the state level.
Overall, in the legislature, how responsive are the members of the Senate and the House to helping support transit?
You know, I think that it's always a challenge in Olympia because they have so much on their plate and so many things they're trying to deal with, not to mention the gaping funding deficit on the state level. So it's never easy, but on the flip side, you know, we do have a lot of great champions like some of the folks I mentioned who are working with us and other organizations who care about these issues to really tell the story and push these things as far as we can and hopefully get it signed by the governor. And actually, the short-term transit funding bill passed out of the Senate Transportation Committee earlier last week. You know, we've never gone past Senate Transportation Committee before, so that was a huge step in the right direction for the legislature engaging on these issues.
Would you like to say a few more words about what has been called the Local Transit Act, the bill that contains the more long-term ideas for funding of transit?
I think that there will be more news on this coming out in the next week or so, but really what this will be about is kind of the first piece of legislation that's really tied to the Transportation for Washington campaign and talking about long-term, more sustainable local funding solutions for transit agencies to allow transit agencies to not only survive this crisis, but really grow and thrive in the future. So we'll have more news on that down the road, and folks can tune into our website and sign up for our email list and all that kind of stuff to stay tuned on really as we get into the nitty-gritty of what we're talking about going down the road.
Would you like to just briefly mention some of the key elements that are proposed within that act?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, the motor vehicle excise tax is an important element that we're talking about. One thing that we're talking about in the act is more of just kind of an idea generator, but there's a vehicle miles traveled tax, you know, so it's more tied directly into, instead of gasoline use or where you're going, it's kind of a locally funded look at how many miles you're traveling. So it kind of ties good behavior to a financial incentive to do so. And then another thing that we've talked about is kind of a tax that's based upon things about fuel efficiency and weight and all those sorts of things. So the fewer miles you drive and the more miles you get while driving, that's an incentive to go that way. And a lot of these, they still all have the problems that you talked about in terms of if gas is $10 a gallon and no one's driving because everyone just starts walking, there's not tons of money coming in. But on the flip side, we want to make sure that they're moving into a future where folks can drive less and can pollute less. There's incentives and disincentives to do both. So it looks at a lot of those.
Are there other efforts going on?
Yeah. So those are the major efforts at the state level. And then, you know, we're continuing to work with local communities who have some options besides cuts to step up to save their transit service. So as I mentioned, you know, inner city transit, Walla Walla, Jefferson County, they all recently passed ballot measures to fund transit service. Pierce County, unfortunately, in February, didn't pass the increase to keep service funded, but we're going to continue to work with them to find the right mix to make sure they can stay sustainable in the future. So, you know, we kind of have a dual strategy of working with the legislature and telling the story of transit funding and the importance, and then really working with the local communities and local grassroots organizations and local government agencies to find solutions and figure out what we can do in the short term to stave off really, really painful cuts.
How are other states addressing the problem of lack of transit funding? Are there some good ideas from other places?
There are some good ideas. Everyone is in a funding crisis, so nothing's perfect for sure. The two ideas that are used a lot in other states, which we don't have mechanisms for. One is the tolling stuff is really important. I mean, that's something that California, New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Chicago, tons of states allow the state roads, small portion of the toll to fund transit service, which has a huge impact on allowing those communities to build out those robust systems and fund them. So that's one that I already mentioned. Another one, which we haven't talked about that much here, but a model that's used a lot, for example, in Portland, is they actually have a small per employee head tax for employees in the city that they've used to fund transit forever. So it's not something we've really talked about too much, but you know, it's another idea with the thoughts of transit benefits all employers, whether or not you're using it or not. So that's something that's out there. But yeah, there's no perfect solution for sure. And really, that's why we're just putting some ideas out there. We're not saying these are the ways we need to fund transit in the future. We're just throwing some ideas out there to get that conversation started.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think that, you know, contact your legislative officials, your state representatives and senators, and tell them to support the Local Transit Funding Act to save bus service in the short term in our communities. And then just stay tuned to learn more about this campaign, especially if you're someone who cares about safe cycling and walking in your community, healthier, more connected neighborhoods, and better and more efficient transit service across our state. This is a great place for you to get involved, and we'd love to hear your ideas and thoughts and hear from you.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Andrew.
Thanks for having me on.
You have just been listening to Andrew Austin, Field Director for the Transportation Choices Coalition, speak about the Transportation for Washington campaign. For more information, check on the web at www.tforwashington.org. Again, that's T, the numeral 4, Washington.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.